the opportunity to set our hearts on listening to the Dhamma. Today is the third day of our retreat together. So we come together to train the mind in this online retreat. And in Thai, to enter the retreat, we call it entering the Kamatana. And this word Kamatana means the foundation or basis for our work. And our work is to train the mind, to bring the mind to be firm and well established in samadhi. So we've practiced together many times already. So we understand that Dhamma practice, we train it to be continuous, to make mindfulness continuous. And this is important. For instance, now we're listening to Dhamma, and it may be in the Thai language that we don't understand. We take that opportunity to train the mind, to be with the in and out breathing, to be with Bhutto. We can also contemplate the body. So we're with the sound of the Dhamma. We listen with a still mind. We can listen in the English language or Mandarin language. And so we listen with a peaceful mind. We listen to the Dhamma with the mind that's collected in samadhi. In this way, we can contemplate the meaning of the Dhamma to understand it more deeply. Understand it more deeply than we previously understood. And we listen again, our doubts are reduced, and our understanding becomes more clear. It's just like the water in a pond that's been covered over with water plants. We listen to the Dhamma, and it's like we spread the plants apart so that we can see the clear water. This is the mind that sees the path to the end of suffering. It sees the light, sees the Dhamma. The mind feels great fullness and joy and happiness. So this is clear understanding that arises from listening to Dhamma. And for myself, I was the same way. I listened to the Dhamma of Venerable Ajahn Chah, and I would feel very close to Nibbana. It felt very clear. It was like the mind, that these things that cover over the mind, these obstructions, these five hindrances, it's like they were taken off the mind so the mind could receive the flow of the Dhamma. The mind felt joyful and clear. And this is important. And if our parami is full, then we can see the Dhamma. Just like Venerable Anyakondanya, listening to the Dhamma, his mind was still and peaceful. He had the parami of virtue, the spiritual perfection of virtue, spiritual perfection of samadhi. And he had seen suffering a lot already, had that wisdom, but he was still unable to escape from suffering. He needed the Buddha to open the door. And once this happened, he saw the way out, just like turning on a light in a dark place or showing a path to one who's lost. He saw clearly. He just needed a little bit of help. We just needed just that much. So for ourselves, we need to build our parami first. Sometimes we have this wisdom and we know already that we need to abandon attachment to materiality and mentality to reach the end of suffering. And we know this already. So this means we're one who has wisdom at the forefront. But our samadhi is not yet stable. Then we get a little bit of mental stability and peace, then we get some wisdom arising. But then our samadhi reduces back to a normal level, to the level of daily life, where the mind is agitated and wavers with sense impressions and moods. And the unpeaceful mind chases after those sense impressions, is close to those sense impressions. This is because mindfulness, samadhi, and wisdom are insufficient. They're not enough. Because no one wants greed, aversion, and delusion. But then these contacts arise. The outer sense objects contact the inner sense bases, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the eye, the body, the mind. Contact arises. Based on that, feeling arises. I have the experience of seeing or hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, experiencing mind objects. And with this experience, the khanda of sense consciousness arises, or vijnana. So this is all in the realm of nama, or mentality. So we practice to bring the mind to stillness, to emptiness, to train the knowing element. So we have this knowing element, this element whose function is to know objects. So we train the mind to be with emptiness, to be with stillness. So we see contact arises, sense consciousness arises, feeling arises, vedana, whether pleasurable or painful. So nama in various forms arise. Then craving and attachment arise very quickly. The mind clings to these five aggregates as self. This is the cause for suffering. So we need to be careful right at this point of sense contact. We see the mind gives rise to liking or disliking with regard to the contacts. So we watch over the mind. We care for the mind a lot. So if we're not able to know the sense impressions in time as they arise, then these sense impressions cause proliferation to arise in the mind. The mind chases the sense impressions, gets lost in them, clings to them. So we teach the mind. If we have mindfulness, we teach the mind right there. It's unsure, it's unstable. If there's liking, we teach the mind. It's unsure, it's unstable. If there's disliking, we teach the mind. It's unsure, it's unstable. If there's doubt, we ask, well, who is doubting? If there's busyness and distractedness of mind, we'll see, well, what is the mind busily distracted with? Are you going to die? So you bring the mind to stop, to not like, not dislike, to bring the mind to stillness. And you can ask, well, why is the mind feeling greedy or aversive or deluded? So you teach the mind right there. You teach the mind with wisdom. You bring the one who knows to teach the mind. If the mind is sufficiently peaceful, then enough wisdom can arise to let go. So one is able to let go of whatever that mood or sense impression is. But for a new practitioner, it takes time. So anger grabs hold of the mind, and sometimes we fight with it. Sometimes the anger doesn't win, and sometimes we try to win, but we can't. So we keep fighting. We have samadhi to fight. This is the defilements proliferating in the mind versus the path in the mind. They're fighting together. Sometimes we win, sometimes we don't. Sometimes if the path has enough strength and energy, then the path wins over the kilesa. And when this happens, we're able to see the body as just earth, air, fire, and water. The body's empty. Knowing arises that it's not a me, not a mine, not a self. This anger is not self. But these defilements that take the mind to cling. But with wisdom we see that, well, there's no one who has anger, no one to be angry with. There's nothing there. It's just these four elements. It's just these defilements taking the mind to have this or that mind state. But really there's no me, mine, you, yours, no self there at all. Just like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the discourse on the foundations of mindfulness, we see the body's just the body, feeling is just feeling, mind is just mind. Dhammas are just dhammas. There's no self in any of it. So we study the text and we see there's no being there, there's no self there, there's no me or mind there. So what is it? Well, it's not anything, it's just nature. So we get lost and we think that there's something there, that it's a self. It's a feeling that arises in the mind. There's attachment and clinging. So whenever there's clinging, just watch that. Whenever there's anger, watch it. Whenever there's greed, aversion, or delusion, then watch it and see it arise, or have it arise. Because if it doesn't arise, then where are you going to practice? So when fear arises, the mind proliferates with that fear, and it can proliferate a great deal, thinking all kinds of things based on this fear. But if we're able to stop that proliferation, stop that fear, whether it's fear of a ghost or a spirit and so on, or we see that all fear really comes to the point of fearing death. So we watch, we follow that fear, and the fear ends. We see when there's no proliferation, there's nothing to be afraid of. See, the mind is just thinking here and there about ghosts, but when the mind stops thinking about it, there's nothing there. Fear only arose because of this proliferation. It's just a mood that's arisen. If we don't proliferate, then there's nothing there. In this way, the mind gives rise to wisdom. When there's enough peacefulness and collectedness, then wisdom arises. We see the body is just the body. It's not a me, mine, you or yours, not a self. The mind's empty. It's just these external sense contacts bringing the mind to have fear. And we see that clearly, that it's just nature. There's nothing, there's no fear anymore. So this is the mind fighting with sense impressions, fighting with moods, or fighting together in the Dhamma practice. So sometimes the strength of the path, the strength of virtue, collectedness, and wisdom is not very much, but don't worry about that. Just patiently endure it. Have effort. Keep fighting. Have this firm intent to keep fighting, to keep practicing. Some people, they like anger. They get angry easily. Or they like greed, get greed and wanting easily, or delusion. So whatever the case, whatever your character, you can think, today I won't get angry, won't have ill will, won't wish harm upon any being. You won't take anything that belongs to others. You won't seek out vengeance, seek out harm to oneself or to others. One contemplates that life is uncertain, that we all must die, that we might die today. We could die in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the nighttime. It's not sure. We must separate from all that we love, must separate from everything. So what then can we cling to? Even this body we must throw away. These four elements of earth, air, fire, and water right here. The mind's not with them for very long. An illness is constantly arising, constantly afflicting this body. So therefore we set our minds to cultivate mindfulness in daily life, to keep a watch over the mind, to keep the mind stable. So we have this time to chant, meditate, make the mind collected. We can also chant an abbreviated version. We recollect the qualities of the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. We cultivate the meditation on loving kindness to abandon ill will. And we reflect that all of us born into this world, we're all friends in birth, old age, sickness, and death. And it's just these qualities of ignorance, craving and attachment that have brought us all to be born here. And during the day, ignorance, craving, and attachment take the mind to go clinging to this or that, clinging as self. So we set our hearts on the practice. And then throughout the day, we have these sense impressions or moods arise, like anger, and this anger arises, and we contemplate, or what is this anger, or what are we angry with? Contemplate that it's unsure, it's unstable, greed, aversion, delusion, it's unsure. So teach the mind right there, that it's all empty, it's all not self. Then one day the mind is able to see that it's unsure in truth, it's able to really see it. And if one is angry, one can look at it and see, well, how long am I angry for? How many hours? You can take a clock and time it. And then when the anger disappears, then the mind just goes ahead and proliferates about something else. So we see right there that it's unstable in this way. So we watch over the mind, we care for the mind, we listen to the Dhamma, study the Dhamma, meditate, go on retreats, sit meditation. We practice to cultivate the mind. In the end, the mind gives rise to clarity, doubts reduce, and we can see more clearly. So we see that listening to the Dhamma has great importance. Just like I explained before, we see convention and liberation arises, or we see samuti and vimutti arises. And we see that we've been lost for such a long time in this sense of self, and being male, being female, lost in convention, lost in seeing, oh, it's a room, it's a house, it's a town, it's a city, all these various names that we've learned, that we've called these things since we were children, but then we become lost in it. It's not that we can just avoid studying about what things are called, because we need the names to call them in terms of convention. But then we see in terms of truth that it's really not there, that it's just a convention. We see that this point is very important. This is the heart essence of the Buddha Dhamma. We see everything is just convention, liberation arises. So may you contemplate right at this point, use wisdom to teach the mind that really there's nothing there, there's no me or mine, it's all changing, it's all stressful, it's all ownerless, it's all not self. So why should I get greedy, aversive, or deluded about it? Because it's all not self, it's all empty. To use this to teach the mind, use this wisdom to teach the mind, to bring the mind to peace and collectedness. So you do this, and you can do this all day. And sometimes the greed, aversion, or delusion arise in the mind, and so you seek to cure that or fix that right there. So when you have time, you can chant, sit in meditation. If you're feeling weak or tired, you can rest first. Wake up early in the morning, and it's good weather, you can sit in meditation. Bring the body and mind to feel light and at ease, even to the point where you feel that there's no body at all. This is energy and strength of mind arising. Then you can contemplate the Dhamma and give rise to understanding more easily. Because the Dhamma is here already. The Dhamma is open and revealed already. This body ages, sickens, and dies. All material form, all nature, or it's something that humans have built or not built, they're all conditioned formations that arise, stay for a little while, and cease. But the mind doesn't see it. It sees in terms of self, in terms of me and mine. having happiness or suffering with it. And this goes on for a long time, getting pleased or displeased with this or that and suffering about it. We can think, well, where is that happiness and suffering now? Well, it's not here anymore. It doesn't exist. It's arisen and ceased already. And even the experiences in the present arise and cease as well. Even these qualities of rapture and happiness in the Dhamma, these wholesome Dhamma qualities, they also arise and cease. But we need to cultivate them first. We need to abandon the unwholesome, cultivate the wholesome, and make the mind pure, to bring the mind to purity and brightness. This is vipassana, or wisdom. So we see impermanence, stress, and not self. This is the mind object that gives rise to wisdom. So we seek to be firmly established in this, to be firmly established in virtue. As Dhamma practitioners, we have the 5 precepts or the 8 precepts. And so what you need to do now is to do the practice, to cultivate mindfulness, to make mindfulness continuous, to make the peacefulness and stability of mind firm and stable, to give rise to wisdom. So may you have effort in this without ceasing. So this can be something that one enjoys, to enjoy the training of the mind, to be with the meditation object, with the meditation practice, and this is good. The mind can then progress. One listens to the Dhamma, brings the mind to stillness, and right there the mind sees not self, sees convention, sees liberation. The mind becomes open and spacious. The mind sees that it's all convention, that in truth there's no self to be found there. In this way, rapture arises, fullness and happiness arise. The stream of the Dhamma is like this. The mind feels full. One sees that there's nothing there, that what the Buddha taught is correct. Previously we had faith, we had a lot of faith, but it was faith without wisdom. But then when we see the truth, then faith arises with wisdom. And this becomes firm faith that doesn't waver. So having seen already, we see it for ourselves. The seeing for oneself is important. We see it's all convention, that all beings must die. None of it is self. And this is Dhamma arising. So this faith is firm, we have rapture and happiness, wisdom arise. This is what happens when we go to the stream of Dhamma in the beginning. So may you all have the mind object like this, or mood like this. And once you know this, then the mind is stable, a stable faith in the Buddha, the Buddha's teachings. The mind strives in Dhamma practice. And even with various burdens in one's life, like having a spouse, a husband or a wife, or children, family, things like that. And the Buddha's time, we see that individuals also had families and various burdens. Like the retinue of King Bimbisara, a great many of his retinue were stream enterers, even though they had those burdens. So this is something that you're able to do. So what you need to do is keep building the causes and cultivating the mind to see convention and liberation, to practice continuously, to give rise to clear knowing. And once you see the truth, then the mind strives and practices without ceasing. One strives to make mindfulness better, to make samadhi more firm, Then when we sit, we can feel light and at ease. We listen to the Dhamma, can have rapture arise. The body can feel very light. And there's these various various manifestations of rapture, like hair is standing on end. And this is a kind of rapture that arises. It's not from fear, but it's from the Dhamma. So we teach the mind right there. Feel this fullness and happiness and rapture. The body becomes big or small. There's a chills or hair standing on end. The hands or feet can disappear. The body feels light. And if it becomes a lot, then the body feels firm. This is sukha, or happiness of another type. So this happens when the mind becomes peaceful. And when the mind's not peaceful, then whenever a mood or sense impression arises, the mind chases after it. The mind's lost and lacking peacefulness. This is like when we have a battery. We use that battery and the charge goes away, or the charge is depleted. The mind is the same way. We have the strength and energy of samadhi, but then we receive a lot of moods and sense impressions, a lot of the sense of self arising, and we lose a lot of that energy of mind, just like the battery being depleted. So we need to have a lot of care there, to care for the mind, to watch over the mind, to teach the mind, to see that everything that arises, it's all convention. And this way we can see liberation. So may you set your hearts on this, to do this every day, to give rise to Dhamma understanding, to become firmly established in faith in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So may you do this, may you have continuous effort. And when you have continuous effort like this, then you're able to reach your goal, have success in your aspiration. So may you all grow in Dhamma and grow in blessings.